So, the primary meditation postures that we use are sitting and walking. Andrea mentioned standing as an option, and Matthew is a great model of standing meditation. He often stands, and some of you will be models of lying down meditation. We usually don't recommend lying down meditation because how easy it is to fall asleep, but it's considered one of the dignified four postures. And what's nice about these postures is they're really ordinary. What's more ordinary than sitting or walking for most of us, and lying down and standing? It's a pretty simple, ordinary thing. And it's in this ordinariness that we find the path in our practice. If you are walking, maybe, or driving in a great, expansive desert with no markings, it's a little bit hard to drive straight. Or if you think you're driving straight, actually maybe you're swaying or going off a little bit to the left or right. But if you drive on a road that has markings, straight lines, and you're driving between the lines, it's a lot easier to notice if you're veering off into the other lane or off the road. You know if you're going straight or not. So these ordinary activities of just sitting here these ordinary activities of just sitting here are meant to be partly just the lines on the road to notice when you go off and when you're not just here in an ordinary, simple way. Andre describes so nicely about how when you wander off in thought and you wake up from that, you might notice you're in a new landscape, a new territory. Sometimes you're in the desert, sometimes you're in the jungle, sometimes you're at sea, sometimes you're on the battlefield, sometimes you have your head in the sand like an ostrich or something. All kinds of different territory. But you always come back to this ordinary thing of just sitting, just walking, and not much is going on. There's, compared to all these landscapes, the territory the mind can go in. And it's a reference point to see what you're doing, be clear what's happening, to notice when you're off to the left and the right. Come back to this ordinariness, just being ordinary, simple. Every day, just here. And relax. Wake up here. One of the places to go is to think that it's supposed to be extraordinary, looking for the special, great spiritual experiences. That's in another territory. Just ordinary sitting here. And it's amazing how the path practice opens up when we're just here in a simple way, being with our experience as it is. So walking is one of those ordinary activities we do intentionally here as a practice. And walking meditation works very well as a complement for sitting or lying down because of the way it brings into balance different physical and psychological parts of our being. Very simply, if you sat all the time, you tend to be lethargic. But if you walk all the time, it tends to be more energizing. But if you go back and forth, it tends to bring into balance the relaxing and the energizing qualities of being. For some people, it also helps bring into balance the balance between mindfulness and concentration. For some people, sitting is more of a mindfulness practice naturally. For other people, walking is more of a mindfulness practice. And then for some people, concentration is that way. Some people, the other one is that way. And so if that's the case for some people, those two get into balance a little bit by going back and forth. Many things come into balance by going back and forth. So it's important to do. To emphasize that, I like to kind of joke and say that walking meditation absolutely doesn't work unless you do it. And and some people have attitudes that, I don't do it or something. I'll just do a little bit because it doesn't work. For some people, walking meditation is an acquired taste, and it was that case for me. But it was well worth acquiring the taste, and now I love it. I really appreciate it a lot, but it takes a while sometimes to do it, and it's sometimes we benefit a lot from doing things we don't like. So don't worry if you don't like it, just do it. And also the other thing about walking meditation, we have these periods for walking meditation, usually about 45 minutes long, sometimes half an hour. And it's really best to use as big of a period of that time as you can, uninterruptedly. So it doesn't work so well to, you know, boil a pot of water by turning it on, flame off, on, off. So don't walk a little bit, then have tea, walk a little bit, go to the bathroom, walk a little bit, take a break. Do all the things you need to do in the beginning or end of the walking period so you have a bigger chunk as possible. So we have a walking hall next door here in this next to this wall. We have the hallways, we have the community hall with dining room, we have the decks, we have outside, many places you can walk. And the general idea is to find a walkway that's about 20 or 30 paces long and walk back and forth. If you wander around, which sometimes is a nice thing to do, it might be helpful and supportive sometimes, but as we really get into it, the simpler it is, after a few passes back and forth, you know the route. You don't have to think about it or step over and around things. So choose just a place going back and forth. And it's nice to start off by finding a pace that gives you a sense of ease. Something that's kind of, even when people are angry, some people go for a walk when they're angry. And I don't know if ease is the right word, but it kind of makes it more easeful to hold it or be with it, a certain pace of walking. So find, and that means that to find your own pace. There's a tendency for people on retreat, especially in our scene, to walk slowly. In the good old days, there used to be competitive walking to see who could walk the slowest. But rather than succumbing to peer pressure and walking slow and all that, pay attention to yourself. Find the pace that brings you, that seems right to you. If you want to make that a really fast pace, which sometimes people do really fast walking meditation, do it further away from the people who are walking slow. Maybe do it outside or something, in the parking lot or somewhere. Some sense of ease. And as you get a sense of ease, then drop into your body. And let your attention, almost like your awareness, can kind of settle in. And your whole body is a field of awareness, field of perception, being with it, with your body. Become aware of what it's like for your body to be walking, this feeling, sensations of your body as you walk. And you can even let the awareness drop all the way down to the lower legs and the feet. There's something about the alternation of something, like the breathing, or the alternation of the feet walking, which is supportive of our ability to stay present. To just hold the attention of something which is unwavering, doesn't change, doesn't kind of have a rhythm to it, it's actually much harder than to be with something that's kind of gently moving. So in walking, that rhythm is the steps as your feet as they do the stepping. And the idea is not to be so much in the control tower, looking down at the feet or thinking of it. Internally, it's not good to look at your feet as if that helps you to be mindful. Because it kind of keeps you too much in the head. But it's more like if you understand this, it's almost like you're sensing through your feet, through this, like if you're walking in the dark or something and you really want to be careful where you're stepping with your bare feet, you know, you really keep your sensing with your soles of your feet what you're touching, and you feel it there, and you're walking on the warm, nicely warm sand, you really kind of feel the sand and let it, you know, really absorb that sensations and savor it, the soles of your feet. So there's a way of sensing. So feel the sensations as you walk. If you're walking fast, you might not be aware of much. It might be mostly the contact of the feet against the ground. If you're walking slow, then you might be aware of a lot of sensations and lifting and placing, lifting, moving, placing. And mind wanders off and then come back. Mind wanders off and come back. Sometimes it's helpful to use a very simple, rudimentary kind of thinking to help us be present. Right? And that helps because sometimes if we don't use mental notes or this rudimentary thinking, the thinking mind will be, just kind of do its own thing. So it's kind of like using a very simple thought to both help you not drift off in thought so easily, but also kind of keep you on track. And we call that a mental note or a label, very gentle, soft whisper in the mind. And so with walking, it might be as simple as every time you make a step, just say step, step, stay right there, stay right there. And chances are that if your mind is wandering a lot and you have hard times being present, that simple note will help you kind of be more focused and more present, help you notice when you're wandering off more easily. If you're walking slow, some people will do the note lifting as the foot goes up and placing as it goes down. And just, or some people just do right and left, different things. As you walk back and forth, you can do anything you want with your hands that's comfortable for you. I often keep them in my pockets. You can keep them behind your back, in front of you. In Zen, they often hold their hands like this, one hand closed, the other hand above it, with the lower arms parallel to the ground. It feels a little bit heavy after a while, but there's something about that it can be helped with kind of keep your body upright and alert, or upright and straight. If you have back problems or upper shoulder difficulties, this sometimes helps with the posture and makes it a little bit easier. It's usually nice to have the eyes down about 45 degrees so you're kind of seeing what's in front of you and so you're not looking around much. And if you're walking particularly slow, I find it's nice to just come to the end of the walkway and stop, turn around, stop, and then start again. If I'm walking fast, then I'll just pivot and turn around. The thing about stopping is that when I full stop, I'm much more likely to catch myself if I drifted off in thought. And so that kind of is kind of a way of checking in and starting again. The other thing that can be helpful is if you find yourself thinking a lot, caught up a lot in something or emotions or whatever, you're welcome to stop in the middle of your tracks and close your eyes and just take stock. Just notice what's going on and be present for as long as it's helpful to be present and notice it. And sometimes when things are more fully acknowledged, it's easier to kind of let them be on the side, not be caught up in them, and then you can start the walking again. To set yourself up to be mindful during the whole walking period, like nonstop, is probably unrealistic and not so helpful. But one thing that's can be very helpful is to, if you walk back and forth, this pass back and forth, if you at the beginning of each pass, the 20 paces or so, you set the intention to be as present as you can for that pass. Maybe that's a doable distance. And if that seems too far, half the pass, half the distance or something. And if that's too much, one step. And sometimes by having the intention to be present in a shorter period, it's easier to kind of make it to the end of that period. And then you reset it. And that resetting of the intention regularly can be helpful to kind of, come back, stay on track like that. And I think as Andrea indicated, don't underestimate the tremendous value of brief mindfulness. Even one step, half a step, done repeatedly, is very valuable. No amount of mindfulness is wasted. Just come back and offer yourself to the next moment, So, I hope that you find walking meditation enjoyable, or maybe as an acquired taste, enjoyable over time. And hope that it supports you in the practice. And maybe we'll have a chance to talk a little bit about how it's going for you with a walking meditation when you meet with Andre and I for the practice discussion. Great. So. Thank you all. I hope you enjoy the day.